nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
I love to make faces, you know. It's just kind of fun. I'm such a ham, you know. It's just great. You know what we used to do when we were kids? You ever do this? This is really great, especially at dinner. And it really is good when you have seven people and everybody's kind of quiet and you go, well, look at it like this. My dad says, eat your pasta, you'll be fine. All right, it's, I don't know, it's whatever this. This is Monday. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, well, the video's good, right? My camera. Doodle's back there somewhere. This is Monday. I'm lost. August the 17th. Don't mind me. 2020. My name is Patrick Timpone, and this is OneRadioNetwork.com. We do live stream video virtually every day, except when I have a bad hair day. And then I don't go home. So, yeah. I'm having a bad hair day, so I... With me, who cares? So no mask today. I just want to let you know we don't do masking. Now, there are places, for example, in Wisconsin, where the gov, the one we love up there, suggests that people, I'm cereal. I am gluten-free cereal with this one. That's right. And we even put it on Facebook, so that makes it official. he suggests that people, when they do Zoom meetings, like this, you know, to wear a mask, just in case. I mean, you can't make that up. But in Wisconsin, well, what can I tell you? All right, Ray Pete is going to be here. Oh, my God. Here come the postcards from Wisconsin. Ray Pete's going to be here. He's a PhD. And I think we're going to ask him about iron. You know, we had Marley Robbins on last week, and he was a real iron monster. Suggests that too much iron, that he began putting in the food, really messes up the copper metabolism, which messes up everything. And he tells us to get the iron out, to get some blood, give some blood. And he's got some other ways. And we're doing a whole thing. We did the full Monty at the blood test. So we're going to have Marley come back on. And we'll do the whole thing with the iron just for fun. This morning, it is the third Monday of the month. My nose is itching. Somebody's talking about me. And it's Dr. Richard Massey. He's a MD, and he's in Austin, Texas, and he doesn't have a mask either. So obviously, he is walking on the wild side, and anything could happen because you are not masking. And you know what the governor said, Doc, in Texas? You heard, right?
Oh, what did he say?
He said that things are so tough that we need to extend this little mask rule to December 15th.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Dr. Richard Massey, how you doing? What's going on? Tell us about your life, stories, loves, lives, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, life is kind of quiet here on the creek in South Austin.
Really?
And doing some ancestry stuff, doing some etymology of words. I wanted to talk with you about the celebrating origin stories again. That's my big theme right now.
Celebrating origins. Is that like is that like celebrating the day Adam and Eve were born? Just kidding. So, I mean, how ideas? I mean, I don't know. Catholic, you know, what kind of thing? How can I? How do I celebrate my origin, Dr. Richard Matt? By the way, if you'd like to join the show, 888. Hold on a second. I think we have a little delay in my audio. So this may be, I don't know why, but hey, let me just do this. 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. OneRadioNetwork.com. And then you can join the show with Dr. Richard Massey. I think we have a little bit of lag of when I say something and you hear me. Not sure why, so we'll take it slow.
Yeah. We may be further apart than we think.
Oh. So you're further than six.
Do you mind if I show your birthday to everybody?
No, I'll get more presents. Go ahead. No. Let's see.
So here we are talking about how to celebrate origin stories. This is what I draw with people when we have visits in person or on the phone or Skype or Zoom. And it shows that November 1946 would be a good time to be born if you wanted to be a newsman.
No, come on. You just made that up.
Oh, no. Because there was a couple of things going on.
In November 1946, I guess the war was just kind of whiny. Well, Patrick was being born, and that was pretty fun. But I guess the war was just kind of winding down, right? World War II. They name them now, you know, just in case you want another one.
So when we look at an origin story,
I don't think that's coming through too good.
You, yeah, okay.
Kind of.
It actually begins like 9 months prior to your conception.
Before the conception.
Which is, because it's the ambience that your parents are living in that you're conceived in. So what was the ambience that they were living in? And 9 months prior to your conception is May 1945.
Oh.
So,
ooh.
2 months into that period was Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. So let me see if I'm following you here, there, Tonto. If you move 18 months before your birthday, then that's the time when mom and dad are getting twinkles in their eyes, and Patrick is up in heaven thinking about coming on down and having a roll, right?
All right, And it's the ambience of what's going on there.
That affects.
That's going to determine the purpose they have for you when you're conceived.
The purpose they have for me?
Yes. Yeah, why do they even want a child?
Well, when you're Italian, that's what you do.
Determined.
You just have kids, man. Come on. Come on. You eat pasta and you have a little wine and you make a baby. Come on. It's no more complicated than that.
There you go.
But no, there would be, to your point, I'm just not making fun of this, but to your point, there would be a purpose to Patrick incarnating at that time, right?
Yes.
Because I wanted to have certain experiences 75 years later or whatever, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I get that. No, I get that. But just because
and
I get it.
The amount of news coverage of those events is unbelievable. If you just go back and Google any of that, it's overwhelming after about 5 minutes.
Really?
And the coverage only comes from one perspective.
Can't imagine what that was.
Right. You saw how later even when you're like 3 months old, Voice of America radio begins.
No kidding.
Yes.
Voice of America radio began 3 months after
in
the May
Day. February of 48, yes.
Oh, February of 48.
Of 47.
47. Okay, when I was...
Yeah, 47. You were 3 months old.
3 months old in Voice of America. I was tuning up here. And then I did.
Yeah.
I worked for...
We were,
and then I worked for United States Armed Forces Radio. Thank you very much. So I was close.
There you go. See? So you were true to your origin story. Yeah, you're kind of looking for your origin story.
What do you mean I'm looking for it? Aren't I living it? What am I looking for?
So... we're looking to consciously live the origin story instead of unconsciously repeating it.
Okay. I get that. Because if you unconsciously repeat it, you just unconsciously repeat it again.
Yes. And there's no freedom of choice.
Right. So I'm consciously living my origin story.
Right this minute. And you talk about the kind of joke you tell and things like that. When you are 8 months old, guess who begins operations? And I only wrote down a couple of them. There was a whole list.
Yeah.
The International Monetary Fund began operating.
You're kidding.
The CIA began operating.
Whoa. That's great.
This is all while your little nervous system is forming.
No wonder I got CIA and IMF karma, man. This is great. Yeah. Makes sense now. See, I'm not so crazy. That's funny. So let me stop you a second here, Dr. Massey. Man about town. So you're suggesting that this work can show and prove, or whatever the term is, that when our little nervous systems is forming, much like in other things that, because we're all connected, right? So we're connected with the planets and they change and we change at the same time, in my opinion. So as my little nervous system is forming, these things that happen out there a kabillion miles away, they're part of the, whatever, the hologram called life for Patrick, which I'm part of as soul, right? It has, it's my karma dharma to, you know, mix it up with the CIA and the IMF a little and the radio. And I get that. No, that makes sense to me. Of course, I'm crazy, you know, so don't go by me. So when I start thinking, you know, understanding what you're saying, whoa, I think we should go somewhere else and let's look at Alex Jones, because this dude's crazy. This guy's out of his mind, for sure. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So how does it work? So when you do this with someone else, so how would you... how would you work with this for me if I was kind of talking to you? So you would work with it from the standpoint of help me to understand this. So if I was having any issues, right, with the IMF or CIA, I could kind of work through it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. If you, let's say you were unhappy. Well, everybody that I talk to on the phone is kind of unhappy because otherwise they wouldn't be calling in. And, so let's say you were unhappy about money.
Right.
And I didn't know anything about you, but I looked and I wonder what his parents felt consciously and subconsciously when the IMF starts to form.
Mm-hmm.
When the whole economy begins to shift after the war. How did his parents feel? Because his forming nervous system has to soak that stress up so mommy and daddy don't have to feel it. And his nervous system has to express an answer for that suffering.
Gotcha.
So what I would suggest to you as an adult talking to another adult.
Well, good luck with that.
You ought to call somebody like Andrew Goss and invest with him and get away from all the entanglements of the IMF.
I see. Okay.
So I would say something like that. Mm-hmm, so that would be a solution.
That's why I posted a thing on Facebook this morning encouraging people to buy gold and silver just an hour ago.
Yes. Right. Exactly. You know, and that's to save mommy and daddy from suffering.
Oh.
And once we become conscious of that, then we can do it consciously as a free choice. But until we're aware that it was to save mommy and daddy from suffering, we're kind of compulsively doing it with a kind of emotional reactivity about it, that's a bit of a burden.
So this is helping mom and dad now, because they're in another reality somewhere, because they left their body. Is it helping them now?
Yes, but no.
No?
No, in fact, it really is way out of phase. But the nervous system, after about a year old, it does not change those programs of its origin, except through an initiation process.
Say that again.
So the subconscious will not change its origin survival programs after 1 year of age. It will keep them until death of the organism or until initiation happens.
Initiation, and what would that look like?
Well, that's what sustainable cultures, human cultures all over the globe, have done that at puberty. And we don't do that.
We don't.
So, that's sweet.
How come?
That's an interesting question, Patrick. I don't think any empire-building cultures do initiations. I think initiations are for healthy human villages that don't go around stealing other people's stuff in order to make a living.
Oh.
So at puberty, in most sustainable cultures, indigenous cultures, there will be a challenging ritual at puberty. And then the person will be raised by different parents from 13 on so that the programming of pregnancy and infancy doesn't reactivate.
So what kind of cultures
and
do
then
this?
All those,
what kind of cultures do this?
So I learned about this first from Alberto Viotto, and then from some other people as well, but you can check him out and hear about what happened in his group. And they basically put the kids in a cave, a dark cave, for 3 days and nights with no food or water, and drummed and sang and told them, I hope you make it out. And during that time in the darkness, hungry and thirsty, they have a conversation with their true self. They realize that all of these things that they think are not going to help them survive.
Wow.
They have to find something new and different. And they find that, and then they're pulled back out 3 days later, and they're sent to live with different parents.
Interesting.
Otherwise, they'll start trying to save mommy and daddy again.
Oh. So our job is not to save mommy,
like
mom and dad. Our job is not to.
Up to 1 year old, we actually do save them.
Just by
We actually send out a vibration from our nervous system that's like a homeopathic balancing vibration to help them not suffer so much.
That's great.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I think
it's our time of being Jesus.
Isn't that great? So, wow. So the vibes, you know, it's all vibrations, right? It's all light and vibration. So
right.
This all makes sense how it could happen. I mean, So we come in, and I'll just take me, for example, to use the words. So I come in, and then I'm helping to balance out mom and dad going through different stuff just by hanging around and eating, sleeping.
Yes. Yeah. When you're in the womb and you're nursing, you're soaking up whatever stresses them and sending out a balancing vibration to help. That's what your nervous system is doing.
Hmm. I wonder if that's one of the reasons why women, many of them, look so radiant and light-filled when they're with child.
Mm-hmm.
You think?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. You got a village of two walking like around in one body.
It does take a village. Thanks, Hillary. We love you. Sorry. I carried away there. Take this love thing real far.
Yeah, yeah, well, you know, and I'll just mention, you know, that your first presidential election, huh?
Yes.
You were about 2 years old.
Really? Who won?
Yeah, so your political comments, mm-hmm. understandable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what was unique about the 1948 presidential election?
Who was the dude?
Among other things.
Do you know?
And there being crazy, crazy news. Right, the first presidential election after the war.
Ooh.
This would be like the first presidential election after the pandemic, but that one was after the war. Okay, so there's some similarities here if we look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was the only election, I think. Let me see if I can get my fingers up.
Three.
Guess how many candidates we had?
Three? Four?
four.
You have to move your hand back a little bit.
There were four presidential candidates on the ticket.
Harry S. Truman.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. He ended up winning, if you know, if the votes are counted right, but Dewey was declared the victor in all the newspapers
yes.
the night before.
That classic picture of
then
Truman.
Strom Thurmond. Yeah.
And the classic picture of Dewey wins.
And then Strom Thurmond. Yeah. Sure. Dewey wins. Yeah. And so unexpected stuff. And Strom Thurmond was the candidate for the Dixiecrats.
Dixiecrats.
And they actually repeated the Civil War story by seceding from the Democratic Party.
The Dixiecrats?
So that's the way our origins, yeah, our origin stories keep repeating until we complete them. So the South, you know, never really finished their part in the Civil War. So here the Dixiecrats are going to secede, and they want to make segregation the law, right? And so Strom Thurmond was their leader. And then Henry Wallace gets on the ticket, which according to Oliver Stone, and I actually watched the newsreels of that convention, Henry Wallace was much preferred by the people over Harry Truman.
He was.
Back in 1944. Oh, man, all the people wanted Wallace.
And what was his thing? Why did the people like Wallace? Do we know?
Wallace did not want to be an empire builder. He
said,
we need to keep American wealth here and quit killing and stealing other people's stuff and building empires.
Really?
Because it has a bunch of bad blowback. He also helped us come out of the Great Depression. He had some interesting agricultural ideas that really saved America. He was vice president under Roosevelt. And everybody liked him except the empire builders. They didn't. They realized he would ruin all their plans to take over the world. And so as the convention's in a frenzy, clamoring for Wallace, the bosses pull the power at the convention and say, I'm sorry, the power's going down. We'll reconvene tomorrow.
Really?
And then during the night, they paid off key people to vote for Truman. They promised them cabinet positions and all this kind of stuff. And so Truman got elected instead of Henry Wallace, and the rest is history.
Isn't that funny that we often so talk about the boys, right? The boys being the oligarchs and the, you know, the new world, the one world government folks here on the show, in so many aspects with COVID and money and everything. And there was right during when I was just a little nervous system guy going on. This was happening, right? This was happening. The boys were getting old Harry elected. Isn't that fascinating?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you can see how your origin story is playing into everything.
Sure, sure. So then the idea is, so if I wasn't doing, blessed with doing the whole radio thing and all of that and really study this stuff and get into it and like it, that's healthy for me because I'm, right? Being conscious of it. But if I were not, and just living in Brooklyn, but then...
Well, okay, so
I guess what I'm saying is, if I came in to do the whole radio karma thing anyway, I would have screwed it up along the way if I wouldn't have followed my heart and ended up, you know, running a butcher shop in Brooklyn and not knowing anything was going on, I'd still be affected by it. Is that what you're saying, kind of? No?
So I stay with the biology part. And the biology part would go like this. There must have been some suffering in your parents about the way the news was covered. They felt some deprivation and suffering. Like, I wish we had a different perspective. Something that was more empowering and uplifting than what we're getting on the newsreels and the corporate radio shows. And if you're in the womb and an infant when that's going on, you will be programmed in your subconscious to provide that news.
I get it. I understand. But, you know, and also, I guess 48 too, I think that was the beginning of a time when things were starting to get a little better economically too, because it always gets better after the war, right? I mean, it always, don't you think?
It gets better if you win.
If you, what do you mean?
If you win the war, it gets better.
Well,
but if you lose the war, it gets awful.
Sure, but yeah, the United States, they say they won.
Right.
Of course, they always say they win.
And, you know. But, you know, sure, the subconscious, though, knows the truth. And we pick up the vibrations from everywhere. And so once we get out of the womb, we actually start emanating exosomes in addition to the vibrational remedies. So these little exosomes are particles that all humans make. If you sit in your room there, just breathing out, you're breathing out little particles that your body makes for genetic upgrades for all of the people on the planet, because you care about them and you're connected with them.
Oh.
The exosomes will come back to your room from going all around the world in 3 weeks, says Zach Bush. They'll attach to little particles, get on air currents, and they'll go around the world in 3 weeks, whether we restrict travel or not, whether we stay at home or not, whether we wear a mask or not. These little exosomes are love particles. They're full of DNA, RNA, amino acids, and they have genetic updates for us that we need in order to stay healthy on the planet.
Well, I like that. I like that because I've always had the contention, not always, but that as we raise our consciousness, right, the 100th monkey kind of thing, everybody else does too, no matter where you live, because we're all soul, we're all connected, one big blob of God. So you're saying that there are people that are conjecturing that this is, of course, if it's happening spiritually, it's got to be happening physically. So the way that physical manifestation is, this is cool. You actually are breathing out little genetic exosomes because we are changing our DNA, our genetics, by what we think and believe. So our little DNA, so this is the upgrade. This is so cool. So this is the upgrade, and we share the upgrade by breathing. Whoa.
Yes.
That is so cool, Dr. Richard Massey. I just think that's the bomb, man. Because it makes sense. We couldn't upgrade spiritually, right? Without upgrading physically.
Right.
It just, it's not going to happen.
Right.
As above, so below. It's just a hologram.
Right.
See?
Yes.
Oh. All right. Stay there. I got to do some commercials. That is so cool. Man, jeez. I just tell you.
Previously with Dr. Rulin Chu about her product called Pearlseum.
So let's talk about the teeth first. Explain to me what's going on, because there's something magical when you dip your little toothbrush in water. Why do they look so sparkly and just, I don't know, something very energetically about the look of them.
Yeah, it's very, very magical. So like a group of scientists in France discovered that when you put the pearl next to the bones, or our skins or other connective tissues, and they find it stimulates new growth of the bones and skins and connective tissues, and also to make existing bones and the skins more healthy and stronger. So brush your teeth with the pearl, then your teeth will make your existing teeth stronger, and also it will filling up, you know, teeth with the pearlseum, and the pearl powder will stimulate the new bone growth and also make the existing teeth very strong.
It's really a great product. You'll love it. Take it internally or on your teeth, and you can click an order, see the ad right there, Pearlseum, the nice green container, Pearlseum, on OneRadioNetwork.com.
You bet your boots, baby, and you're going to love this product. We recommend that you get two or three containers for your order, get the powder, and let's try it internally. You can try it on your face, and you know, of course, brush your toothies. Marley Robbins recommends about, let's see, what does he say? If he's right, and I think he's close, he's been studying this stuff a long time, maybe 5 milligrams per pound of magnesium per day. So you go five times your weight, and then about half that in calcium. And Pearlcium has pure calcium, not totally, but just a percentage. And I'm going to figure out, I'm writing them today. I want to know how much is in each half teaspoon, and we'll share it with you. And this is from Real Pearl, Once Living Source. And according to the Max Planck Institute, you know, those dudes over in Europe that Dr. Bob Marshall used to talk about, what we want to put into our body is a once living source stuff. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? So your body knows what's going on. And pearls are like that. Pearls are from a living oyster, which, by the way, does not kill the oyster. But according to Dr. Rulin Shu, the oyster actually gets happier and makes more pearls when you gather the pearls that they make. And they make the pearls because they cry. Because they watch sad movies. I just made that part up. Pearlcium, it is a great product. Check it out. OneRadioNetwork.com. One radio. They do. Dr. Massey's laughing, but no, they watch sad movies. I've seen them. They go down there and they play Sleepless in Seattle, and they wait to the end when you cry, and the oysters do it. I mean, I'm not making it up, really. Okay, I put on Facebook today about a pretty interesting story that China is printing more yuan, like kabillion, I mean, crazy. And Andrew Goss taught us that the central banks of the world, the European Central Bank, the Federal Reserve Bank, the Bank of Japan, all the central banks gather together in places like Davos, Switzerland, have a $85 hamburgers, drink some scotch, and decide how much they're going to inflate their currency. This is where they do it. And they do this so things don't get too cattywampus, right? So yeah, even the dirty, rotten, communist, pinko Chinese, they're going to kill us people. When it comes to money, we're all Swiss, baby. They agree. So anyway, the point is, is that everybody and their sister is creating dollars in yuan and yen on a computer, which means one thing. Prices will eventually rise because of more money chasing the same goods. And even more so, this is curious, because there's less goods because the govs, the one we love, are closing businesses because I don't know why. So there's less goods and there's more money, so the price of goods will go up, the dollar will fall, and gold and silver will. So if you'd like to get some gold and silver coins, the point of this thing is call Fred at U.S. Coin Capital, 800-468-2646. That's 800-468-2646. If you're up in the middle of the night watching Leave It to Beaver reruns and they give you a gold commercial, don't buy it from these people. You have no idea who they are. Call Fred. He's not going to sell you stuff that you don't want. You never watch Leave It to Beaver at 2 o'clock in the morning, Doc? Come on. You don't know how to live, dude. Okay, it is 800-468-2646.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
I don't even have a television, so I don't even know how I know that would be possible to Leave It to Beaver. But, you know, I'm just using my imagination. Because with 400 channels, I got to do something, man, you know.
Yes.
You know, it's funny that it's so interesting. Here's a little story about exactly what you're talking about. Morley Robbins was on the show. He was really good. I don't know if you know much about Morley, but he's been around a few times, and he really is well-researched. He rattles off peer-reviewed studies like, whoa, you know what I mean? It's like, phew. And he's got some pretty interesting information about iron and lead and stuff like that, and how they got into the culture, and how they, iron especially, and how they began putting iron in foods, I think around the time I was, came in. You know, they came to the Gov, you know, the boys, whoever they were, and they said, we really need more iron, boy, in the food, because, you know, and they would start enriching everything with iron. I don't know if you remember that, iron in the pasta.
I remember Geritol, sure.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. So I thought, whoa, what about Geritol? So we played that commercial on the show, because with video now we can play it. And here's Betty White, I think 1950, right, when I was like, you know, 4 years old, talking about what? Iron deficiency anemia. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. So doesn't that even play into what you're talking about with Patrick now talking about the iron and, you know, that we have too much iron, according to Morley, and probably do, which makes the copper go up, and then we rust because it's iron and oxygen. We rust, and that's an oxidant, and that's why we age, is because we get rusty.
And what story is that an answer for? Why would people all of a sudden become fascinated with iron deficiency anemia and treating iron deficiency anemia in 1950? Why would that even come up as a mental topic without any scientific awareness at all? Where does that come from?
Well, the TV commercials.
It comes from everybody's loved ones bleeding to death on the battlefield.
Oh.
That's what iron deficiency anemia is.
Whoa. So that came before the commercials. That came before the commercials.
So, yes. And that's like what it. That's why we all went for it. People wouldn't go for it if there wasn't this subconscious, unconscious drive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do you know how cool that is? So that that explains everything. That's a karmic explanation, too, right? It's their karma. Mm-hmm. We come in at that time. We lose blood on the battlefield. And then it's our karma to see the commercial to try to convince us that, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, see, we're the little ones that come along later, just like the babies in the womb.
Yeah.
And we're trying to save mommy and daddy who bled to death on the battlefield. It's the same thing. And when we become conscious of it, we go, you know what? I'm just not going to try to save stuff that's already happened.
I see.
I'd like to be in the present moment. And to do that, I need to fully honor and include everything that happened in the past.
Okay, say that again. I need to fully honor it, realize it happened, okay?
And yes, and include it. Give it a place in my heart.
Okay, I love you. Love you all.
Have a real Memorial Day, right?
All right.
Yeah, and then when that happens, I don't go out and buy a bunch of Geritol just because it's on a commercial. I have no interest
in
it.
I see. So we only buy the Geritol
because
we haven't made peace with the whole bleeding on the thing.
Yeah, because I'm trying to get the Geritol to the guy laying on the battlefield. That's what my subconscious is doing.
I see. And so they see Betty White and they kind of believe that they have iron deficiency anemia because subconsciously they do.
And Betty White kind of people were painted on all the bombers in the war. You know, she's like a symbol of, you know, a lot of guys would go up and kiss Rosie on the plane before they'd get and take off for their mission.
Rosie the Riveter,
Yeah.
Wow. That is so fascinating, Doc. I love this stuff. You see why we have this guy? You don't hear this stuff anywhere else. Come on. 888-663-6386 if you'd like to join the show. Patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Dr. Richard Massey, and we have all of his contact information on his show page, and then you can pass on the video and the audio to everyone that you care about, and then you could do a session with Dr. Massey, like remotely, Zoomy, and he can tell you exactly why you're so crazy. And you'll like it. Y'all love it. What's not to like? Right? you know, you're really crazy. Well, I know that. How come we don't believe it like when girls tell us we're crazy? I mean, we don't believe it then. Why would we believe it when a guy like you explains it? Me? <No. laughs> You're the crazy one. You are crazy. Oh, my God. It's great. So how did you get there? How did you make the connection between bleeding and the geritol? Did you just come up with that? Was that just a divine inspiration that entered your being?
You know, it just seemed like the thing to connect there. So.
So the answer is yes.
That's what I earned. Yeah.
No, I understand.
With the exosome story, I love that you love that because I did too. And I give credit to, you know, Andrew Kaufman and Zach Bush for, you know, introducing me to that idea. And then I kind of took it and went my own direction with it a bit.
Yeah. But yeah.
Guess what happens? Guess what happens to human villages when we don't use words in their original meanings?
In villages, like families or neighborhoods or whatever, when we don't use words as they were from their original,
according to their original meaning.
Like, give me an idea. What would we be doing now, which doesn't use the original meaning?
Yes. So guess what the medical industry calls these loving, connecting exosomes?
I know. Viruses.
Yes. Yes.
Oh.
And the word virus meant poison for 500 years.
No.
Before it was assigned to the exosome. Yes. So when we hear the word virus, now the human brain is confused. The conscious brain says, I've got to believe the scientist, but the subconscious is going, no, man, for 500 years it meant poison. So now we don't even trust our own breath. We don't know how to make village connective movements anymore, because the very things that connect us, these little exosomes, have been vilified by having a label attached to them called virus.
6 feet, masking, stay at home.
Yes.
Now, you don't have to answer this. But do you think these people who are behind this are smart enough to know what you just said?
I don't know.
They're not that smart.
You know, I know. But it's interesting, you know, when the parts of the origin of a word are omitted, it's like omitting part of the Mayflower story, which this is the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower.
Really?
So, and it was called, the celebration was called off because of COVID. So it was 1620 when the Mayflower came over, right? So this is a second sign that what we're actually repeating in this country is our North American origin story.
How are we repeating it now?
So the Mayflower is one. We're on the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower. But the big one is, this is the first time I know of in American history where a group of people left their old people to die alone without contact with their families.
Oh, when they came over.
The old people would have never made the trip.
Right.
So they had to leave them back in the old country.
Yes.
To die in the misery that they escaped. And we've never made peace with that.
To die in the misery. Oh, to die in the misery that the Mayflower people wanted to escape.
Yes. So if you were young and fit, you could escape all the tyranny, all the taxation, all the torture, all the imprisonment, all the injustice. But if you were old, you were left behind to die in that without any of your family being around your bedside while you died.
So
this is the first time in history that we have reenacted that as a culture.
And how we react
to people in nursing homes.
Nursing homes, oh.
And we don't allow their families to be with them when they're dying.
Whoa, with the COVID thing.
Yes. This is our origin story coming back, and it wants us to acknowledge that this is our origin story. This is a part of it. And when we make peace with it and the place in our heart, then we stop repeating it.
So we would make peace with it. Let me take a shot by understanding that it's our karma. We can cry if we want to. This COVID thing, regardless of whatever it is, I can just let that go and do the best I can with mom, who I can't see, and I'm going to Zoom or whatever, and everything's going to be fine. Something like that.
So, you know, everybody's going to have their path, and I
do it a different
way. To find their path and their way to do it. But village ceremony and ritual is what humans have done for eons. And so, for instance, in family constellations, we choose someone to represent the old who were left behind. We choose someone to represent the ones who left and came to the, quote, new world, which was basically the old world again. It wasn't really a new world. It never was. And we make peace with those parts with some kind of ceremony, some kind of heartfelt ritual or ceremony. And then once that's done, that whole energy that we're emitting subconsciously, it shifts.
It shifts. So people could do this.
And then we quit manifesting the same stuff.
The same thing. So we could do it with a spiritual exercise internally. We could do it with friends. We could do it with a recall healing thing. We could get together and do some kind of ceremony in our neighborhood, whatever. Whatever it takes to complete it and to wrap it up and not repeat it, then you're good. So that's what you do in the recall healing. That's why you take on a role, right?
Yes.
I see. Who figured this all out? Was it Jacques?
You know, the part of taking on a role has been done, gosh, longer than we probably know.
Yeah.
The guy who's credited with it, a guy that I met and did some work with, was Bert Hellinger. And he was kicked out of Germany because the Nazis said he won't be a brown shirt. He's an enemy of the state. So they booted him out of Germany as a kid. And he became a Jesuit priest, and they sent him to a boys' school in Africa to teach Zulus how to become good Christians. And the joke is he learned how to be a good Zulu. He went over there and observed that all the children were happy, and he had never seen that before.
Really?
Nowhere in Europe had he ever seen a place where all the children were happy.
So he
started following their rituals and their ceremonies. These people honor their origin stories. They honor their ancestors and their rituals. And when they do that, the children are born without these burdens that you and I are born with.
Isn't that fascinating?
They just don't have them.
If you're on hold, stay there. I will get to you in just a second. Don't go away. We want to talk to you. So if you go through the whole idea of story, who's the guy that wrote all the works on story? You know who I mean, right? The Orphan, The Wanderer.
Oh, yeah, Stephen Jenkinson.
The
Orphan Wisdom.
Yeah, that one. And also there was somebody that did the whole story thing that was real famous. Whatever. You know who I mean, right? Story. The Road Less...
I mean, are you thinking The Hero's Journey?
Yeah, The Hero's Journey. The Hero's
Journey. Yeah, Joseph Campbell.
Campbell, that was the name. The Hero's Journey, which is Orphan, then you wander, then you're a warrior, and then you're a martyr, right? This is the classic structure of screenwriting. Classic. Act one, act two, that's act one, act...
Right.
That's what you do. And that's the... I mean, there's a lot to it. And I just finished, you know, my first screenplay, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. So my question is then,
yeah,
when we watch a good story, well told, and the main character goes through the hero's journey, And only all the good movies, they do it. And if you watch it carefully, they go through it and they all have a flaw and they overcome the flaw. There's all kinds of subtext to a good, well-done movie. Do you think then when we really get that experience, that that must help us too, and why really good movies like that are classics and people watch them again? They must feel this hero's journey and it helps them to see theirs?
So interestingly, what you're describing is something that's unique to Europe and England and North American cultures. Indigenous people don't have a hero's journey. It's not a human thing, but it's a cultural thing. If we can see that it's part in it, it's in some way trying to tell our plight, that we have actually isolated ourselves, and our origin story requires heroes in order for us to survive, then we can learn something about our culture that way. But not every culture requires heroes. In fact, if you don't have victims and perpetrators, there's no need for a hero.
Yeah, but you're talking about like Venus and Jupiter, man. You know, there's not a lot going on.
No, I'm talking about the human beings that have lived in the Amazon for who knows how long.
No, I mean, there are.
Indigenous peoples.
Right.
And so it's not a human thing, for instance, to fear death. It's not a human thing to need heroes. But it is a cultural thing, and it is part of our story. That our story, our origin story, is a story of victims and perpetrators. And because we left, our ancestors left in ships with resentment and fear of the perpetrators, we recreated Europe and England in this country. It was never the New World.
That's right. Same thing. And it's fascinating, too, because we've been taught that even with the Revolution and the Constitution and the whole thing, First Bank of the United States, and the war was about the money, right? King George didn't like that the people there were using their own money. They were creating. That's what the war was about, not the Tea Party. Thank you, homeschoolers. They were right back in it. From day one, the British and Alexander Hamilton and George Washington sold out the First Bank 1793 or something.
Mm-hmm.
They were right back in it.
Did you know that the Mayflower had to get permission from the Virginia Merchant Company in order to even land here?
I wouldn't know.
There was already a corporation under King James.
Yeah.
That even the people who were escaping had to get their permission to land. You can't even land your boat over here, you know.
These guys are like giant squids, man. They had their little tentacles, and they still do to this day. I mean, In a sense, I mean, you know, the power of the Queen and the whole Bank of England thing. It's still going on today.
Okay, so
go ahead.
Go ahead. If you're going to do a commercial, go ahead.
No, I'm not going to do a commercial.
But it's the victim perpetrator perception in me, in my origin, personally, and in my family, that causes me to send out a vibration that I'm not even aware of, that creates the queen.
Yeah.
That creates the tyrant. And the real deep answer that all of us can be involved in is, what can I do today to shift my perception away from victim and perpetrator?
And that's, exactly. Let's see. Who's on the phone here? Good morning.
This is Denise calling from Dallas.
Hello, Denise in Dallas. What's up?
Denise.
You're on the air with Dr. Richard Massey.
Yeah, I know. And this is what I'm going to say now kind of correlates to what you were saying about 5 minutes ago, where the people in nursing homes are separated from their family. Okay, I'm in a nursing home. My mother is in assisted living. But guess what I did? The only way I can get out of this place for a day without getting slapped back in quarantine jail for 2 weeks is to go out to a doctor's appointment. So guess what I did? I got a doctor's appointment on my birthday, which is next Tuesday. And after that, I'm going to go see my mother if it's between a glass wall. But that's what I had to do to make my life work because I haven't seen my mother since her birthday in February. Are you there?
Yes, yes. I appreciate your perseverance there, Denise.
Well, I was just, I was just a little more clever than these people. They're just, they're not going to destroy my life. I'm going to get what I want, when I want it, and how I want it. So that's what I did.
Good job,
so
baby.
I'll just keep making doctor's appointments when I need to go out.
That's right. You know what they say, Denise? Where there's a will, there's a lawsuit. No, where there's a will, there's a way. Thanks, Denise. We appreciate it. That's pretty cool, right? You gotta get creative, man.
Yes, it is.
Here's one. Here's
ingenuity.
A good one. Here's a good one for you from Linda. Dr. Massey, what is the recall healing story behind the masks and temperature taking, pointing a laser, potentially the pineal gland? Oh, she's really getting tinfoil hatting here. And what's going on today?
Oh, yeah. So, everybody's going to have a slightly different take on this. In our origin stories, I'm looking at big biological events like birth and death. Most of us were born to people wearing masks and gloves. So when we come to these big moments in our lives, that's just going to feel familiar to us. Sadly, the same thing is true with death. The professional people that are around dying people often have on masks and all kinds of other stuff and gloves, and people have no human contact as they're dying. And so it's a way of subconsciously grieving these things, I think. I think that's part of it. And if you think about our cultural origin story, I mean, these guys on the Mayflower, they had to hide their faces, brother. You better believe it, in order to make it. They first fled to Holland because England made their religious gatherings illegal, right? These guys, these Puritans, they wanted to purge the Church of England, right? That bring up images of a large nurse with a tube that's going up the bottom side. They want to purge the Church of England. And amazingly, the Church of England was not on board with that.
I can't imagine why.
I think we'll purge ourselves of you.
I'd be doing my own purging, dude.
So the pilgrims first went to Holland. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
They first went to Holland, not here. Yeah. Because Holland had religious tolerance. Uh-huh. So they could go be there. But then Spain started threatening Holland, and Britain said, we'll protect you from Spain if you outlaw these guys. So Holland said, okay. So now the Puritans are outlawed in Holland. So then they had to make a break for the U.S., and it was rough, man. There were guys that they think poked holes in the boat. They had to have three different starts.
Really?
And they actually had to leave one of the boats behind. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And half the people starved to death the first winter. I mean, it was really gruesome.
Yeah.
And they had scurvy, pneumonia, and tuberculosis.
Well, that's only because Bill Gates wasn't around yet. He would have given them a vaccine. It would have been fine.
Yeah. So
think about going across the ocean in one of those boats. Oh, God. Can you imagine how many people were seasick?
They would have died. They said the waves were 100 feet in height.
My goodness.
That's the length of the boat. And at one point, a storm was so bad, they would have all died in the middle of the ocean. But some craftsman who was on board had brought this tool that could actually repair the mast. That's the only reason they even made it.
No kidding.
They were dead in the water.
How many people were on the Mayflower? Do we know?
Oh gosh, you know, I forget now how many it was 130, I think, 30 crew members and about 100 people crammed into a tiny little room. It was quite a story.
How long did it take to come over?
But you got to be desperate, you know.
Sure.
And the story I got, you know, growing up in church and in school was, hey, these are people coming over looking for religious freedom. And, okay, you might say that consciously, but to complete the story, the subconscious, they're looking for somebody who believes different than them to purge, right? That's because that's how they left. So that's who they're looking for. And who better than Native Americans to purge? I mean, they believe different things. So eventually we end up with schools where kids get forced to go to those schools and learn to speak English and cut their hair off, and they can't do any of their ceremonies. That's not religious freedom. So the story is incomplete. And when we complete the origin story, we don't keep repeating it like we are now.
Mm-hmm. That's the deal, right? It's called, it's pretty much, in my experience, how it works karmically, where we have kabillions of lives and we just keep doing it over again until we get it, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we're doing our best.
We're doing our best, and, you know, I thought after a few million lives I'd figure it out, you know, but, you know, it's kind of slow on the draw here.
Yes.
But this is, I think, really exciting times. I've never felt more positive about my experience in planet Earth than mm-hmm. I do right now today at this moment. Isn't that weird? I mean, with all the stuff going on, I feel stronger and healthier and more positive and more I can do this and do that more than I ever have in my life. What's that about?
Wow.
You know, what's that about? So I think it's time, and I believe a lot of people are feeling like that. And so I think there's going to be a lot of really cool stuff come out of this, whatever this thing is, you know, financially and geopolitically.
Zach Bush is actually starting a medical study of the benefits of COVID.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a lot, right?
Well, it's an exosome, so it's meant as a genetic update.
Okay, Leah, I want to dig more into that. I'd like to better understand that little thingy. Okay? Stay right there. We're going to do a little break here. Patrick Timpone, right. OneRadioNetwork.com with Dr. Richard Massey. Whoa. Yeah, so we're going to dig in and get the old exosome and recall healing thing and such in just a moment. This is the product that's on sale right now, the pine pollen. And this is the biggest sale of the year. And you use Pine 20, P-I-N-E-20, on any Surthrival link, OneRadioNetwork.com. Get 20% off. I'm ordering two today. Not that that matters to you, but I love this product. I probably have taken this more consistently the last 10 years than any product, because I just feel good when I glop it down. That's the one we recommend, is the Pure Pollen Potency. It's called 4Ps, but I think that's the one you should get if you're going to get one. And let's play this one by Stephen Buhner about the pine pollen, and you'll like it. Stephen Buhner, master herbalist, wrote an entire book on pine pollen. Previously, we asked him, what's the difference between gathering some pine pollen, eating that, and then maybe taking Surthrival pine pollen and the grape alcohol, the tincture? What's the difference in the body?
Okay, the difference is pine pollen is probably one of the best nutrient food substances on the earth. And you see, it's made to be uptaken by all of the life around it. All of the other plants take it in and use it for growth. Many of the animals eat it, and it's a very nutrient substance. If you eat it, what happens is it goes through your GI tract and then puts it into the bloodstream. And there's a lot of great stuff in it. I mean, it's really high in amino acids and protein and vitamins, so it's a very magnificent substance. It's kind of a nutrient longevity tonic food, and it will over time raise levels, but if you really want to raise them fast, you don't want to let it go through your GI tract, hence the use of a tincture.
And you can click and order this great product right on our website. Any of these are Thrival links. Take you right to the pine pollen and order away. OneRadioNetwork.com. This conversation took place 6 years ago with the brilliant Dr. Patrick Flanagan. Is there any trick to remembering dream experiences? And we've had so many people that are remembering more and more vivid dreams after being on the organic sulfur.
Yeah.
What is going on there?
Well, the first thing that happens with the organic sulfur is that when your body gets cleansed to a certain point, you start dreaming in full technicolor. Most people don't dream in color. They dream in black and white and don't remember their dreams at all. And the organic sulfur starts cleansing the brain, and the pineal gland starts operating, and suddenly the first thing people do is they have these vivid dreams in color.
Well, that's just one of the benefits with our organic sulfur. It's totally pure. Very few are out there that are pure as ours is. You can click and order anytime. OneRadioNetwork.com. If you like more than 4 pounds, email me for 10% or maybe more discount, depending. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. And thanks for your support.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We're with Dr. Richard Massey out of Austin, and we have about 15 minutes remaining. Okay, so let's dig in. So if I understand, there were people, and who are the people you mentioned? Who was the one that the real doc that really started the exosome thing? Was it Andrew something?
It was when I saw that video by Andrew Kaufman.
Andrew Kaufman
showed the only known picture of the COVID virus, and then he showed a picture of an exosome right next to it, and they were the same thing. And then I saw that one of the references from virology that was cited there was viruses are exosomes. So these are little loving particles we make, but the name that's been put on them confuses the human brain. And so we're unable to make connecting movements with other people because this word brings up an image of separation, disorientation.
Virus.
Yeah. The word virus itself, it meant poison, something you want to stay away from. For 500 years.
So we are breathing exosomes, which are biological updates, as we talked about, right? We breathe these exosomes. Mm-hmm. They're in our body. And if you do a blood test thing, you can actually see them, right?
Yes.
See them. And they look exactly... I don't know how Kaufman even had... Oh, they look exactly like a virus because they've never really seen a COVID virus. Nobody's ever... captured that, probably because there isn't one. But anyway, don't get me started. So he showed how it's exactly the same as a virus. So is it possible? I don't want to get too weird on the COVID thing and stick to exosomes, but I guess it's possible that there is no external virus and there never was, and this was all exosomes floating around like any other thing that we call flu. I guess it's
so
possible.
That's the story I like the best. Yeah, that we all care about each other. We're all connected. And this is our origin story. When we're in the womb and we're picking up the suffering of mom and dad, we are sending out a vibration to balance them. Once we get an independent body, we can actually start to make exosomes that go with that vibration to help genetically update our family. And so everybody's doing that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Bush says there's 10 to the 31 exosomes in the air, the same numbers in the soil and the water as well. William Hitt on your show said years ago, and he used the old word virus, that there are 10 to 15 viruses in a healthy human body.
10 to 15
actually
power,
composed,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, per body, per human body.
Mm.
And I mean, there's more exosomes in the air than there are stars in the galaxy. I mean, the idea that we're even gonna, you know, and it's about loving each other and wanting to give each other a genetic update.
Right.
Keep everybody updated. And the reason this became dangerous is because this little update particle can hook onto pollution particles and escort pollution particle directly inside of cells. So one of the messages of the exosomes is if we love ourselves and love our species, we've got to find new ways to do business that doesn't poison the air, food, and water.
So that's how the exosomes get a bad rap, because they're out there, there's kabillions, that's all there is, and we're sharing them.
Yes.
And they get hooked up with mercury and the coal fire or whatever.
Yes.
And then that, then someone might argue that I caught an exosome from you, hence I caught a virus from you, and that's how that whole germ theory started, right?
Yeah. And it benefits industry to kill the messenger or try to kill the messenger rather than, you know, like Paul Revere is a perfect exosome example. One if by land and two if by sea, and I on the opposite shore will be. Paul Revere was like an exosome. He's coming to warn that the British are coming. But you don't want to shoot Paul Revere. You don't want to vaccinate against Paul Revere. You'd like to get the message that something dangerous is happening, right? Hey, the British are on the way. You know, you better get ready, right? That's the exosome. The exosome's just coming to tell us what's going on, and it's saying, you know what? There's too much pollution in the air, food, and water. And we're trying to bring you that message, and now you're trying to kill us and give a vaccine that makes you not even be able to recognize our message anymore.
And isn't it fascinating that all the forces, right, many of the forces right now, whether they be, you know, political and medical, I guess that's all of them, and health-oriented forces are telling us we have to not do, share the exosomes, wear a mask, stay at home, stay 6 feet apart, completely opposite of what the natural thing would be. And of course, we all know now that if nobody would have said anything, you know, in February about this COVID, nothing would have happened.
Yeah.
A bunch of people would have got the flu like they always got, and that would have been it. And we know that they created this thing. We know that the masks are a total... Watch the video that I sent you earlier this morning after the show. Oh, you watch that thing, and you are like, this guy is really good with explaining. These masks are dangerous. They're actually dangerous. They're not helping people. They're hurting people. Wow. Okay, so this is a good question. Yeah. Couple more. Esther is on Facebook. Hi, Esther. Could vaccine, if mandatory, COVID vaccine, if they would make it mandatory, what can I do to clear my body now so I wouldn't have to take it or be forced to take it? That's what she's saying. Is there something Esther can do to clear out her mandatory vaccine origin story?
Mm. So people have had ideas about those things on a physical and homeopathic level. The National Vaccine Information Center might have some ideas. Talk to your naturopath and homeopath about it. My part is when we honor our origin story and realize that we all contributed to creating this because it's our origin story here.
Mm-hmm.
When we honor our origin story, we're going to completely slip out of the whole idea of mandatory vaccination. So when you look at the word immune, just get online, and it's the online etymological dictionary, and look up the word immune, and you'll see that what it means is to be in a privileged status so that I don't have to pay my share in the village. That's what immune means.
Wow.
Right? Okay. There is no part of the human body that wants to be immune from another part of the human body.
They just don't.
Every part of the human body wants to be of service to every other part of the human body.
Exactly.
There's no part that wants to be immune. So here we have another thing like the name virus being put on an exosome. We have the word immune, a legal term, being applied to the human body. We have the term immune system. The immune system does not actually exist in the human body. There is no system for immunity in the human body. But what drives us toward vaccination is everybody's afraid of exposure. So we're promised that if we get this vaccine, we're not going to have to pay our share. We're not be exposed to this dangerous thing, which is just Paul Revere coming to warn us.
Right.
You know?
So for Esther, the idea is just to understand it all, and then you're really kind of clear of it. There's no fear. You don't have to fight it. It just won't happen, pretty much, for her.
So she can go at it however she wants. You know, there's all kinds of, you know, physicalities. The disturbing thing about the vaccine, of course, is the fact that it may contain some tracking device.
Yeah.
That's what people are really nervous about, I think.
But you've already argued that this virus, as it believes, really doesn't exist. So, I mean, why would somebody choose, you know, everybody gets to choose, but,
sure,
you know, why would you choose?
But think about our origin story again, and think about what did the people in the old country want, and what did the people on the boat want? They wanted a way to track their family that they had to be separated from. That's all this is. It's a kind of a crazy reenactment of some thing that has not been fully grieved. And once it's fully grieved, then we'll stop trying to want to track each other. Because we'll realize we're all connected.
Yeah. So it's just a real argument for just becoming more and more aware every moment of what is and learning why we're here and how we fit in. And that's what your work is about. Great stuff, man. I really enjoyed having you here. Holy cow. It was great. Thank you very much, Doc.
Yeah.
We'll have all your contact info on your webpage, and stay out of trouble.
All right.
Don't worry.
All right.
Hey, forget it. I'll see you soon. Bye.
All right. Love you.
I love you too. Dr. Richard Massey, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. He's great, man. Okay, we're going to just kind of get set up here. Dr. Ray Peet is waiting in the wings. Wing, wing. Hello. And if you care to ask Dr. Peet a question, you can do the telephone thing, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. PhD, Dr. Ray Peet. Coming at you. Stay right there.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.